Andrew Black, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I want to ask you about your highlights from this past year on council, but I'm wondering if we can frame it, you know, if there was one thing that you'd like people to remember about what you or what council achieved in this past year, what do you think that would be if you really had to narrow it down?
For myself, I would like people to know, and I think it's important to realize the push for a conversation about housing and homelessness in our community really hit a peak over the last year. A couple of community groups got together to start talking about this issue, and myself and a few other counselors got involved in that conversation as well. It's not so much the municipality itself didn't get involved in that conversation, but sort of outside of our regular council work, this was something that we got involved in as well. And now it's progressing even further within the town. And I think that that's something that's hugely important. Through the election that we just had, a lot of the concerns from people were around housing. I mean, it's an inescapable crisis across the country. And it's right here in our own community. So I think that that's personally something that I got involved in over the last year. And it's something that I'm particularly proud of, but I also think that it's hugely important. And as far as council goes, I would say dealing with the reform process with the provincial government. There were a lot of issues, I guess, throughout the last year, and there was lots of opportunity or lots of moments where council was divided and the conversation was hard sometimes and complicated. But, you know, I think it's been a year since this started. We have 2 weeks until the reform process is done. And I think we'll come out the other end of it with a fresh look at things. So I think that that's something that council, even though it was difficult, was able to come together and achieve in the end.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you had an interesting experience in that process because you were very much embedded in it as a member of the Elected Officials Advisory Committee for a long while until you took a step back. Now, that was something that during the, you know, election campaign, some people were critical of that. Can you talk a bit about that decision and that, you know, how that was for you being sort of on, you know, on the inside for most of that process and then choosing to step out of it?
I understood why the provincial government decided to do reform. It was needed. I think that there'd be a lot of people in the province that would agree with me that the way that it was handled was not always perfect, I guess, was not always even appropriate sometimes, but it was needed. And I also understand why there were advisory committees, an administrative one and a sort of elected officials one, because both of those pieces needed to come together to be able to progress the reform process within municipalities across the province. My role on the advisory committee was fine. I mean, it was nice to talk to people that from LSD areas that never had an opportunity before and to deal with some of the issues of reform as we were going along. I did step back from that during the CAO hiring process. And I guess the one thing that I'll say is that I stand firm in my original comment on that the process was not fair from the get-go for either candidate who was running for that position. And for that reason, I had hang-ups when I first joined, and when I left, I still felt that way.
I wanted to ask you a bit about the election campaign.
Yep.
And how you felt it went, just in terms of the collegiality of it or the tone of it in general. Sackville is a very active community on social media, and there were, I mean, I certainly took notice of some unkind memes that were being shared targeted at you. Can you talk a bit about that, like, and how you handled that, and you know, how did that color your experience of the campaign, and yeah.
Well, I guess I don't want to dwell too much on that part of it. I I took a, when I saw that stuff, I mean, obviously it was concerning, more because it made me realize that there were people in the community that were taking a pretty hard stance on maybe my history as a counselor or, anyway, it didn't sit well with me. And I will be quite frank and say that it was really difficult for my family, particularly my mom and my wife. They were very upset by it and scared sometimes, but I removed myself from all of that. And, I'm quite proud that the community came out and spoke out against just general, general negativity in the election. Mm-hmm. Lots of people said, you know, this isn't the way that we do things, right? Not in Sackville, not in New Brunswick, not in small towns. We, you know, you win an election based on your integrity, your merit, and that's what it's about. And a lot of people in the community came out and said comments like that, which I thought was just wonderful. And as far as the election, I was really pleased to see so many people within the Tantramar area come out and put their name forward for a position, which I thought was just wonderful. And I thought that the general tone of the election was quite positive. Most people spoke to things like transparency, community involvement. You know, even though that we have a ward system coming up, a lot of the counselors who were going to be representing wards were comfortable with saying that they would make decisions based on the best for Tantramar, not just specifically their ward, which I thought was wonderful. And I thought that the election went really well, and I'm quite pleased with the result, obviously, as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, congratulations, by the way. Yeah,
thank you.
You're ending the year on a pretty high note, I would say.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I am. It's been the election was. It wasn't like running for council before. It was quite exhausting. I mean, it was every day doing something. If it wasn't answering questions on social media channels, it was out door knocking. It was, you know, canvassing the community as hard as I could and trying to keep up on the issues that were of concern for people across Tantramar. So it was quite exhausting. I was really pleased to kind of take a little bit of a break from it when it was all done.
I can imagine. And now, come January, of course. Now, by the time this interview is airing, you will already have been sworn in as mayor of Tantramar. And come January, of course, you will begin that role. And that, like, you know, similar to, you know, your campaign being a lot more complex for mayor of Tantramar than it was as councillor of Sackville, being mayor of Tantramar is going to be considerably more complex, I would imagine. Like, such a wide area. We're hearing there's going to be 5 different budgets. And you know, and all kinds of complexities ahead. When you look forward to 2023, what's on your immediate radar as you start this new job? Are you apprehensive, worried, concerned at all?
I guess I'm not apprehensive, and I'm not worried. Typically I'm not a person who tends to worry about things until things need to be worried about, I guess. I am excited to get started. I know that it will be difficult, but I really feel that the council that's coming in, there's some good people on council. It's a great council. It's a great makeup. You know, we're going to have a expanded staff, because I mean, I'm assuming that there's going to be positions that will be able to help out some of the departments we currently have. We have a new CAO coming in who's going to have some great ideas for the community. So I'm excited to get started. I know it's going to be hard. I know that there'll be difficulties along the way, but I'm pretty positive that we'll be able to hit the ground running and get things started fairly quickly. So I'm anxious and excited.
I haven't for this year in review interview, I haven't asked you too much about the past year, but I have another question about this coming year, which is possibly sort of more important. You mentioned housing. I'm wondering if going forward, you see that as something that this new Tantramar Council will be more actively involved in? Like, we've seen, you know, the previous Sackville Council take a role in climate change issues. There's an advisory committee, a formalized advisory committee that we've seen them appoint people to the Rural Health Action Group, which was a, you know, an independent volunteer movement, but supported by the town, in that there was a, like, you know, sort of people sent over from council. Do you see housing taking on that kind of level of role for this new council?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I mean, obviously it's a decision of council in the end to make the final decision, but I would like to see town council have an active role, just as you described with the Rural Health Action Group and what we've accomplished with the Climate Change Advisory Committee and then now the Climate Change Coordinator. So we have a group in town that's talking about housing and that has, as I said, has pushed pretty hard to get to the point where they can, you know, they may be able to advise council. They may be able to make recommendations on what the municipality can do for housing in the area. Plus, there is a role in there to play that I don't think has really been researched or talked about too much over the last couple of years for municipalities across the province, across the country, to play in housing. The federal government has opportunities for small communities to access funding for housing, like the Rapid Housing Initiative, for example. And, you know, there's an opportunity there for municipalities to get involved. And if that means partnering with nonprofits or ad hoc committees, I guess, then that I think that would strengthen that even more. So, yes, I'd like to see council take a step to get involved more specifically with housing.
Let's get back to, you know, your year, the 2022, the burnout year is what I'm calling it, where we all just sort of were almost at the end of our ropes. What, you know, were there highlights for you? I mean, we've already heard you talk about your particular role in housing and the monumental task of doing this reform bit and amalgamating. What else that you worked on over the past year has been something that you're proud of and want to highlight?
If it's all right, I'd rather talk about council as a whole, considering that, you know, as an individual counselor, there's only so much that you can do. And I mean, there are some other things I've been involved with over the past year, like some of the resolutions that went to UMNB. Anyway, I've been particularly proud of the community just to kind of get out of the pandemic. I mean, I know we're still in COVID and that's not really going away, but when I was looking back through some of the council reports from the last year, last January, we were still talking about how we couldn't do anything because we were in particular phases of restriction and lockdown, which in some ways seems like it was just yesterday, but in other ways, it seems like it was 3 years ago, you know, so I've been particularly proud that we've been able to kind of come out of that as a community and still be aware that COVID and the pandemic is not really, you know, it's not going away, but to be able to have big community events that people have sort of needed to bring people together. Like we had amazing turnout for the Pride Parade. Canada Day at Bill Johnstone Park was huge. We had the Street Chalk Festival, and then in the last month, we had Moonlight Madness event, and it was probably one of the biggest that I've ever seen. Lots of people downtown supporting local businesses, you know, supporting local nonprofits that had tables set up, and people who were doing crafts and baking, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for the community to come together. And I think that was amazing to see. Just quickly, we had a successful Sappy Fest again this year and Levy on the Lake events, which were hugely successful for the town. And then as far as climate change, we had the Chignecto Isthmus study finally came out in March, and and that there was some action and movement on that, and hopefully that will continue on in the next year, which I imagine it will. We got our first EV car in our municipal fleet for the bylaw officer, which was really great. The climate change coordinator position we got for another year, and then we installed solar panels at the Bill Johnstone Park building downtown, which I thought was also quite an achievement. And then, sorry, Erica, I don't mean to babble on, but
no, go ahead.
The last thing that I wanted to say was we just recently, and it took a fair bit of work from staff, but we got the Ramsar Wetland City accreditation from the Convention on Wetlands, the International Convention on Wetlands. And we are the only city in, well, they say city, which is kind of funny, but the only city in all of North America that has this moniker, which was a huge achievement and just shows how important our natural assets are within our community, supporting both the community as a whole, economic development, tourism, and that was a massive achievement, I think, for not just Sackville, but what it means for the Tantramar municipality and the region. So that was kind of the icing on the cake for me for the last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a years long process to get with that Ramsar accreditation, was it not?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. It took a long, long time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, there was, I think it culminated in a trip, overseas and then we finally got the official word, and then we had a sort of a little celebration event at the Visitor Information Center here in town. So, but it was a huge achievement.
Where, you know, looking back, are there things that you wish had gone differently?
I guess I would have to say the reform process I wish had gone a little differently. I mean, in the end, it was legislated, so there wasn't really much opportunity for not just Sackville or Dorchester, but municipalities across the province to make a lot of changes. But I wish that there was a little more involvement by council in some of the decisions that eventually were made as far as what the reform would look like for our municipality. And maybe as well, I wish that council had been able to be brought together. I felt that oftentimes this last year, there was a lot of bad feelings and a lot of division. And I mean, of course, you're going to get that on council. Like, not everybody always agrees all the time, but I got left with the impression that a lot of people believed that council was, and I think that some councillors did believe that we didn't get along, and I sort of wish that had been a little different over the last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
It doesn't look good. Yeah, it doesn't look good for council, I guess, to sort of bicker and argue and fight all the time. Not that, again, you need to discuss things and you need to have opposing arguments. That's part of healthy democracy. But there's a way to do it appropriately. And sometimes I felt like this last, like our council was often harshly divisive. And anyway, so I kind of wish that was a little different than it was.
That's an interesting observation. And I know certainly a lot of people in the campaign would, you know, call out for things like unity. As a reporter, I'm not too worried about all voices sounding the same right from the get-go, because I'm interested in the discussion itself. Do you think that the way Sackville Town Council was structured had anything to do with that? And, you know, do you have hopes for how you'd like to see this new Tantramar Town Council structured? Is there enough room for healthy, just collegial debate to go on in that council chamber?
Yeah, I think that there is. I mean, part of it is how it's chaired. I mean, everybody chairs differently. It's just, and that's democracy again, right? I mean, You chair a meeting. One person chairs a meeting one way, another person chairs a meeting another. But part of it is how a meeting is chaired. So you know, if you go in with the goal of having fulsome discussion, but you know, fair and firm, I guess, is what I've always said. Then you're off to a good start. But the structure of council in Sackville was sometimes difficult. You would be bound by the rules of the procedure of council, and sometimes having more fulsome discussion was difficult because you only have so much time. Now, with the new council coming in and the ward system, it will all depend on what sort of structure that council takes, right? Is the procedure and organization of council going to be the same? That's up in the air. So we'll just have to wait and see what the new council looks like and what they're willing to sort of take on as far as fulsome discussion and unity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess that like how this new council, you know, how the first meeting goes, I guess is this also up to the province? We don't know, like you don't know the terms of you know, how meetings work. I mean, there's a sort of recipe for how Sackville Town Council worked, how each meeting worked and what was on the agenda. And there is, I guess, no set recipe yet for how that works for this new Tantramar Council.
Well, and this is how the reform process through the province has gone, right? And, you know, and it can't be cookie cutter. It would be silly to think that it would be cookie cutter for such a big change within the province. But the reform process is different for different communities, and the needs of one municipality are going to be different from the needs of another. And that, you know, that argument could easily be made about council composition and sort of guidance and structure. So I guess we'll just wait and see.
Okay, Andrew, well, thanks so much for spending some time with us today, and yeah, have a you know, happy new year and a great holiday with your family.
Thanks, you too.